Howdy, folks. I'm Jeff Gonzalez, former Navy SEAL, founder of Trident Concepts, and host of the Bulletproof Workshop powered by AR15.com, where we discuss knowledge, skills, and ability to help bulletproof your everyday performance in whatever your field or passion. Welcome to Podcast 037. My next guest is a former Marine who took his experience from the military and blended it with his methodology as an entrepreneur to create a unique experience for his clients. In this process, he launched several successful companies from clothing to coaching. He focuses on strategies from the military, such as accountability, to help thousands reach their full potential in business or life. From the fitness side, he practices what he preaches and sets the example for others to follow. Accepting and embracing suffering, he shares his passion for fitness through discipline, motivation, and structure. He's a former Marine, morning master, fixation freak, practicing pugilist, and extreme entrepreneur. Please welcome to the show, Steve Eckert.
Holy shit, where the hell did you get that intro from? I'll give you the $5 later for pay you off for all that good shit you just said. Holy shit.
Thank you.
I was trying to figure out who the fuck you were talking about for a second there.
Well, it was you. All of this is you. I just, you know, I do a little research on the guests and try to figure out, you know, who you are in a sense. And speaking of which, we'd like to start the show off by introducing you to the audiences by kind of starting with where you grew up. Like, where do you hail from? And talk a little bit about your childhood and the pathway that started in childhood. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey, friend, it's dark half the time on this planet. So unless you got shiny eyes like Riddick, you're going to have a hard time operating operationally unless you get night vision from TNVC.com.
Awkward pause. What are you giggling at, Kevin?
It's the same. There's two phrases. And every time for sponsors. And then you take a sip every time. That's why I giggle. I'm sorry.
We've been probably 20 of the hours I listened to probably at least 10 hours of your shows, previous shows, just to kind of prepare. And I've gotten at least 20 something episodes and I wanted to get them all and I fucking failed on the goal.
That's all right.
But he just said, interesting. Like I know all your words and cues. I like that. I like that.
I told you that should be a
interesting. Interesting. I like that. My kids know. They imitate you.
They do?
Because I've been playing it for fucking 2 weeks. All your episodes trying to catch up to prepare. And they feel like they know you.
Oh my God. That is.
You did.
Oh my God. Kevin said that like, I don't know, like halfway through this.
Yeah.
He did it so subtly. It was so funny too. He was just back there and he went kind of like, interesting. And I'm like, what? He's like, that's what you do. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then all of a sudden, like as soon as the next podcast, I said it.
We play a game. We play a game calling out when you're about to say either interesting or I like that. We're like, it's coming right here. Oh fuck, I was wrong. Oh, there it is.
Fortunately, this is all recorded because this will be awesome. So we're back from thanking our sponsors, but we had such an awesome conversation that we're including it while we were in that commercial break. So Steve, hit us up with, where did you come from? Where did you grow up?
I came from the gutter, from hell, from and I'm still told that I'm living in hell by some people. They think I'm the fucking devil to this day, and all the hate that I get on the internet and all that stuff and death threats on a daily basis. And
what?
I do a show with my kids now called Breaking the Cycle, and that kind of will lead back into the childhood. And it's about breaking the cycle from having negative male role models into positive male role models.
Right.
So
on
that show, we have a segment now. It's called It Came from the Nosebleeds. And we go through my Instagram, we pull up comments and we talk about, like, people think they're putting you down and that you're going to be so devastated. Me and my kids talk, we pull it up, we link the person's name into the show and we talk about it. We just have a blast just picking apart the bullshit comments that we get and all the haters.
I love that.
I'm sure you deal with the same shit if you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah, you're right. There's constant, berating from those. So that's a great way to actually, it's a constructive way, first of all, and it kind of takes the wind out of their sails when you deconstruct their argument or deconstruct their entire premise for why they're attacking.
Oh, we need it. I used to just automatically block and delete.
Yes.
Now I keep it because we weaponize it. We create content out of it and we have a blast. We break it down. My kids imitate. There's one that just was recent. This guy was going to tomahawk kick me in the head and knock me out, and he's going to get all the people in the parking lot to shit in my car. It was fucking wild. It's like this whole diatribe, like three paragraphs. My kid memorized it word for word. They act it out and they act the whole scene out. They fucking love it. We recorded the whole thing. They give us awesome content.
That is, first of all, that's brilliant. And I love the fact that the kids are involved and can see the value into that. So that's awesome. All right. So you were raised in hell, but does hell have a zip code?
In New York. About 45 minutes outside of New York City.
No, the
suburbs outside of New York City.
From there,
when I was a kid, all my success, all my discipline, everything that I see that I have, any money I've made, any progress I've had in life, and the energy I have, and the husband that I am, the father I am, I learned everything that I know straight directly from my father. I'm very fortunate. I was able to learn
that
from my father, but hold that thought.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid, I looked at my father and I said, I want to be nothing like that motherfucker. So I'm going to live the rest of my life. He gave me the fucking blueprint. He showed me how to be an awesome husband, an awesome father, a man, a human, by showing me exactly what not to do. I could have taken that and gone down that same route and acted the same way that he did, but I know how not to do it. I say, what would my father do? Check. Do the fucking opposite.
Do the opposite.
Exactly.
Wow. That's actually very powerful to be able to take that and use that information and set a course for the rest of your life based on that. And what like age group did that become like your MO?
I knew it was always there. I always knew that I didn't want to be like this fucking guy. And I'll tell you, it happened in, I don't know if you're a baseball fan or ever was.
I used to be,
in 1986, the Mets were in the World Series and we had nothing as kids, nothing to look forward to. Like literally my best friend was the side of our house. I'd take a tennis ball and I'd play a 9-inning game against the ball. I had no friends, a loner, a fucking ghost. I'd wear a Zorro mask when I'd go to the park, hoping that no one would see me so I don't have to talk to any other kids. Like I was just a fucking ghost. And I also use that as a superpower. Now I could be alone in a hotel room when I'm traveling and start a business because I have to be alone I did that for 20 years as a kid. I could do that now for a day and turn it into fucking money.
I love it.
So 1986 World Series, the only thing that semi connection had with my father, we're all Mets fans in the house. Like as a kid, we did nothing together. I literally never had a single 19 years of living in the house until he moved to the Marine Corps. Never had a single conversation with my father.
Wow.
Imagine 19 years in the house. And my parents stayed married until he died just about a year ago.
Oh no.
But not a single conversation. Never threw a ball, having a single catch ever. Never sat on the floor and played, like zero. I'm talking not a single fucking thing. Just mentally, physically, emotionally abusive type situation. And the only thing that we had a little bit to latch onto was the New York fucking Mets. It's a 1986 World Series. I don't know if you remember the specifics.
Vaguely.
Game six, there's a ground ball right to first base. Bill Buchnerolli has to do is pick up the ball, step on first base, and the Mets lose the World Series. The ball is rolling. It's like going in slow motion. Our dreams are over. That's all I have to look forward to as a kid. The ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs. Mookie Wilson comes around third base and scores. The Mets win the fucking game. They go on to game seven to win the World Series. When that went through Bill Buckner's legs, me and my brother are screaming, going crazy. That's all we have in our fucking life. Nothing else. My father starts throwing shit, breaking shit, drunk as hell, fucking leaves the house. I'm pretty sure we didn't see him for a couple of days. And I was like, what the fuck was up with that? That's when I started realizing there's something off with this dude that I need to go the opposite direction, that we are so happy. The one happy thing we have in our life, and he's fucking pissed out.
Oh my God.
And it turns out I don't know the details of it, but pretty much lost all the money that we would have had on any dinner or our food was now gone because this went through and he thought he's going to win. He bet against our fucking team.
Oh my God.
The only little sliver of fucking hope we had in this world.
Wow.
And this motherfucker bet against them and was pissed when they actually won the World Series. And that was like a light bulb moment. And this was 1986. I was only 9 years old at the time.
Wow.
And that led down a path of just mayhem and terror and all kinds of craziness until I'd say the real flip of the switch was when my son was born just 11 years ago. Then I started realizing, you know, I knew it in my head. I knew that the relationship we had was non-existent. Even when I went to the Marine Corps, he told me I wasn't going to make it. I'd be back soon. When I moved out of the house, told me I'd be back living at home because I wouldn't be able to make it on my everything. Like just negative, cancerous, toxic motherfucker.
Wow.
And not until I had my son 11 years ago where I started realizing, all right, I'm starting to turn into this guy on a different way because I was opened up a gym and I was there from 5 a.m. till 10 p.m., 7 days a fucking week. Either way, now my son is experiencing the same childhood I did. Whatever the reason, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
When he gets to 18 years old, my dad wasn't around. He wasn't there for me, neglected me, didn't help me ride a bike, didn't show me how to change a tire, shit like that. So I started realizing that's happening and realized, all right, I have to flip this switch and start breaking the fucking cycle because I'm going to repeat that same cycle.
God, that is so insightful, first of all, because I can think back to a lot of the things that you discussed and, you know, like, you know, I consider myself pretty fortunate. I had a vanilla childhood. Everything, you know, was fine. There's no drama. Everything worked out good. Had friends, you know, but I did, I had to learn a lot of things on my own. That just wasn't who my dad was. My dad was very loving, very caring. We threw the ball. We went camping. We went and did stuff together. But those little details about manhood were kind of not covered until...
And probably adversity, too. I'm thinking like a tough life.
I didn't really have that. I mean, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Fortunately for me, you know, my family was, you know, middle class. We had everything that we needed. And it wasn't until I was in the Navy that I really began to understand adversity. And it was a shock, obviously, going into any kind of whatever service branch you come into, it's always going to be that shock. And I had a similar kind of experience when my son was born. I was like, okay, I got to figure this shit out. You know, like there's some things I feel like that are innate, but then the rest of it, you're learning as you go, figuring shit out. And so to have a role model in a negative way, to help you understand that what you're doing, even though you're trying to be successful, is causing you to revisit the past. Because I had the same thing. I was traveling. I was on the road. I was killing it at that time. Our business was just out of control. And I'm thinking to myself, I left the Navy because I wanted to be a part of my family. And I'm on the road more now than I was when I was in the Navy.
And the adversity piece, I think, is huge there too. We run a men's program and there's always 80% have childhood issues, daddy issues, drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever. But then there's always about 10%, 20%, maybe very similar situations to that. Now as adults, they had that pretty perfect childhood. So when they became adults and life started fucking kicking them in the nuts, universe is giving them the universal bitch slap. They don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And they start going down the wrong path because they never learned how to deal with that shit. So they sometimes become as fucked up or even more fucked up than the kids who had the fucked up childhood. So I see it as a blessing. Like, thank God. My father was a shithead to me because it gave me the mental toughness, the durability, those superpowers that I could sit alone in a hotel room and not fall down some dark path or whatever. And I could make and weaponize everything. I like to say I'm going to weaponize everything. I'm going to weaponize the shitty childhood. I'm going to weaponize no matter how fucked up a situation is, I will find out. I'll figure a way out how to weaponize it.
So, you know, that's a huge thing. I can recall many times like a really bad place. Not necessarily emotionally or mentally, but just physically, like through the time in the Navy, you know, you're doing stuff designed to put you in a bad spot. And I can always kind of figure out some sort of silver lining, something that was like positive, and just focus on that. And all the negative, okay, I can't feel my feet. Well, that's okay, because, you know, that's giving me an opportunity to check out the sun or whatever. I always found some. And what's hilarious is my boat crew hated that. They're like, stop talking about the good shit. We just want to revel in our misery. We don't want to focus on anything positive. We want to stay negative. I'm like, fuck that. I want to have something.
And they don't know you're probably the one that got them through that. Once by letting them hear it, you helped them get through it. Because
I'm sure, you know.
You can only use the negative reinforcement so fucking far.
Oh, it only goes so far. All right. So 19, you left the house for the Marine Corps. How was that transition? Were you able to piece together what you didn't want to do or what you didn't want to be with challenging or the challenges the Marine Corps threw at you?
I felt like in say like Marine Corps boot camp, one time the drill instructors took me aside. They took me into their office, and this was just regular basic boot camp.
Yeah.
And they close the door and they kind of give a little permission to speak semi-freely of that, because it's just us. They want to get down to it. They said to me, Eckert, what the fuck is your deal? Like, what the fuck is your deal? Like, you walk around here like you're hot shit, like nothing affects you. Like, you're on fucking vacation. Like, what's up with that? I'm like, listen. And he gave me, I don't remember how I word. I'm sure it was very respectful.
Of course.
The point of it was that I said, listen, you are giving me 3 meals a day. You are fucking, all right, you're yelling at me, big deal. You're giving me a fucking paycheck every 2 weeks. You're letting me shoot guns and throw grenades and work out like every fucking day. I'm like, I'm in fucking heaven here. I got yelled at home and abused at home.
You can't do anything to me.
I wasn't getting meals or getting paid. I'm like, fucking bring it on, motherfucker. This is perfect. And they're like, Eckert, I can't see. He's like, I can't stand you. The word vermin sticks in my head. He said, you're like a fucking vermin. I can't stand you. When I see you walk around, I want to fucking kick you in the throat. But if I was at war, you're the one I'd want in my fucking fighting hole
100%.
With me. Now get the fuck out of here. And then I went on there and we pretend that conversation never happened.
I love it. Oh, man. But that's true. You know, what you went through as a child paled in comparison to what they could do.
I get to hang, go across some monkey bars and crawl in the mud. Like, that was a shit I wish my dad would have done with me when I was a kid. So I'm in fucking heaven. And you're giving me a paycheck and food. I literally gained fucking nuts.
Dude.
Gained 17 pounds in Marine Corps boot camp. Gained.
I can remember. That's so funny that you talked about weight. I joined the Navy. I can remember I weighed like about 138. When I 137 and a half, they rounded up to 138 to make themselves feel good. Because I was a scrawny, skinny little kid. When I graduated BUDS, I weighed 170. I just was like feet. Like you said, man, we had mid rats. So I could eat three meals during the day and I can go at midnight and eat as much food as I wanted. Nice. At night. Oh, man, dude. I took advantage of that when I was at BUDS. I ate as much as I possibly could. I didn't have I had a bottomless pit in my stomach at BUDS. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was awesome. So one of the questions that I have was, there something from your childhood that impacted you and put you on the path that you're on today? Clearly, that was it. When you saw yourself in the Marine Corps, the values that they instilled in you, did those kind of help even sharpen your blade even more?
I think not till a lot of people, when they get out, it didn't really click in till after. Mm-hmm. You're in, you don't even appreciate it.
100%.
You're doing shitty jobs sometimes. It sucks and whatever. Yeah. And I was just in the air wing, not even doing any crazy stuff. But still then, you're just, you get into the pattern and it's just your job. You get out afterwards and you start starting a business, start having kids, and the fucking light bulb starts going off. You start clicking the leadership traits. And
yes,
I apply that shit. I'll go into now a company with literally that are making billions of dollars, and I'll just take lessons from my childhood, lessons from the Marine Corps, lessons from entrepreneurship, from doing on my own.
Yeah.
And coaching them, and they're paying me. These fucking big ass bringing this bald, ugly motherfucker in to go tell them how to get their shit together. And it's from based off, you know, some of it's from the Marine Corps and the discipline and the traits that you have from it. But you don't appreciate it till after, I think, a lot of times.
Dude, that's 100% accurate. You're living it and it's a part of your lifestyle without realizing it's a part of your lifestyle. But when you're outside looking in or looking forward is a better way to look at it. For me, man, I have fallen back on those things and I'll just sit there and scratch my head and be like, okay, well, how did I solve this problem? Or how did I approach this problem when I was still in the Navy? Cause there was always problems every day. You wake up, there's problems to solve, fires to put out, chaos to control, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was being able to look at those things as problems and just figure out how did I solve it? And most of the time it falls into three buckets. It's either a leadership issue. Like there's either a lack of leadership or toxic leadership that's not guiding the team in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Second, it's just like you said, discipline. There's just not the discipline to stay the course. You know, it's sometimes the path is so simple. It's lit up. It's there. It's a pathway. All you got to do is stay on it. But you lack the discipline to do it. Mm-hmm. And for me, one thing I've struggled with is structure. And I know that you talked about like how important your morning routine is and that. Kind of that structure. Like there's things that I miss about the Navy, and that was one of them, is like having structure, knowing exactly what's happening and having to put that on my shoulders on my own. Oof. I struggled with that when I left the Navy big time. So talk me through like your morning madness.
Yeah. So to me, that's gold. That's like the magic time. Like, and I give myself as much time as I want for that. I don't rush through it because I need that. Without that, I don't know what the fuck will happen out in the real world. The town will burn down. I need to get my own shit straight in my fucking head before the day even starts.
So, I love it.
And it goes into really taking care of my mind, my body, getting prepared. There's journaling going on. There's meditation going on. There's visualization. There's goal setting, writing down my goals. Like if I flip through this journal, that's right here. You'll see each day I'll have my goals written down, what I'm grateful for every day. It's a gratitude, going deep into fucking gratitude, realizing where you came from to where I am, the kind of lifestyle that I could live now. Like it's all about my lifestyle. I call it my freak freedom lifestyle. And I just love dig it into that and have gratitude for that. People go on the internet and they put shit about gratitude all the time and they'll post a fucking cool little quote or some bullshit. And then they'll walk around their day and they're fucking miserable and they're not present in what they're doing. And they're not even spending the time they can with their kids. And they're stressed about work and money.
Yeah.
No real fucking gratitude. Like gratitude is so huge for me. Not just talking about it, because motherfuckers talk about it, but they don't practice it. I'm talking about writing it about in detail and stopping and thinking about, all right, don't just saying, all right, I'm grateful for my family and my job and my house. Those people do the superficial shit.
Yes.
And they check that box. Okay, now I'm grateful. You're not fucking grateful till you go deep into those. Why are you grateful for those things? And actually, I'll go outside and in my backyard. I have an entrance to my backyard right from my home office and just sit out there and think about these things after I've written them down. And sometimes I'll do my gratitude work and journaling outside.
Nice.
And just inject, like, gratitude to me is a fucking energy. It's, yeah. I'm going to inject that back into the universe. Yes. Like, I'm not a tree hugging woo woo motherfucker, but there is something to energy being put out into the universe that's going to come back to you and it's going to spread out. People talk about they want to make an impact. They want to give gratitude, but yeah. they're not fucking doing anything like actually tangible that's going on in the world on their daily basis. So
oh, I love that.
It's a
man.
Huge part of the morning is right there. It's getting my body moving. I'm not doing my workout yet, but really just clearing my fucking head, getting the bullshit out, brain dumps, getting my hydration and nutrition down right from the beginning.
Yes.
So I'm in control. After my morning routine, I don't give a fuck. Nothing. I feel like I'm bulletproof for the rest of the day. I can't have a bad fucking day.
I love that.
Like, what's going to go wrong now? I've already taken care of my own shit.
Right.
And you mentioned a leadership problem. Yeah. It is always a leadership problem. But the problem is people want to be a leader and have followers and lead other people, but they're not leading their motherfucking self first. You need
Whoa.
To that you think it's selfish to take care of yourself, but think like on an airplane,
man,
they tell you when the pressure, put the shit on yourself first, yep. even before your little kids. You
yeah.
think, why would I do that? I got to take care of my kids. No, because if you take care of them first, you're going to be passed out and all fucked up and can't even help them out. Now they see you pass out. They take their thing off to try and help you. Yes. And now you're two dead motherfuckers instead of you taking care of yourself first, yes. leading yourself first so you can earn the right and have the capability to then lead other people and then turn those leaders the next level into turning them into future leaders. And that's really, I think, is the purpose of life is to have kids and pass it on to your kids and yeah. be that leader. So creating future leaders.
So true. Leader extension is one of those things that I feel like a good leader is chomping at the bit to do that. In other words, pass the torch, pass the knowledge, pass the skills, mentor the next group or crowd of leaders, whether it be their own children or whether it be leaders in their community or leaders in their industry, whatever the case might be. And so many people push back against that because then, well, I'm teaching somebody to do my job. I'm teaching somebody to replace me. I'm teaching somebody to come in and do all this. And absolutely. What if you're sick? What if you get in a car accident and you're out for 30 days? How does the company, how does the mission keep going if there's nobody there to kind of step up? And that's one of the things that I feel like in all industries, people don't appreciate. That's something that was so ingrained in us. We knew that from the battlefield. If you go down, I got to be able to step into your position. What is your job? I need to know your job. Mm-hmm. I may not be able to do your job as good as you can, but I got to step in a pinch and be able to fill that gap. So I love hearing that. I mean, and your morning routine sounds awesome, first of all, because you put yourself first. And like you said, you're bulletproof the rest of the day, you know, and it doesn't matter. You know, in your case, you've elected a lot of things that I feel like are super important, you know, getting your mind right, getting your body right and doing all that sort of thing. But I think as long as somebody can actually recognize that your day from the moment that you wake up after that, it's kind of out of your control. Like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But when you wake up in the morning, that's your time. That's yours.
I almost consider that you are. People say you can only know what you can control. And then like in Stoic philosophy, and then the rest is just indifferent. I like to think of it to the next fucking dimension that you are in control of everything. Because if I know I go out in this my RV, we came out first time we drove our RV was here to Texas, this exact building.
I love it.
In July.
Yeah.
3 days after getting the RV. I fucking smashed the roof of it open, hitting a overpass, $20,000 worth of damage on the way here.
Oh,
and I could have let, I know I did my morning routine. That happened. My wife's freaking out. There's literally chunks of fucking concrete flying all over the place. Like I'm talking smashed the fuck
oh,
in.
Oh shit.
Luckily I make myself bulletproof. I could have crumbled under that fucking pressure and said, all right, we're going home. We're ending this trip. We were still on the road for another 14 days after that. I had tarp and fucking Gorilla Tape. I climbed up, did a muscle up to get on top of the roof.
I love
fucking
it.
Put tarp, Gorilla Tape the shit out of that because there was a storm coming in too. And we went on with the day. So I did control that. I couldn't control the accident, but I can control how I deal with it.
100%.
How I don't let it fuck with me. So if you are in control of yourself, you're in control of everything.
Yeah.
Because it can't affect you. It can't feel you're unfuckwithable.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting too, is like, are you an early riser?
If 5 a.m. will be the latest. I'll get up.
This morning, you know, it's funny too, because I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but sometimes if I sleep past like say 6:30, I feel bad.
Oh, like, it's the end of the fucking world. Like my life is over. I've missed, you missed a month. Like you don't even know what to do.
Love it, man. I don't purposely get up. It's just kind of what my body wants to do naturally. And once I get up, I can sit there and lay in bed and just kind of like, okay, there was a time when I would just lay there and be like, oh, this sucks. I'm up so early. And now I'm like, okay, this is my time. I get to get up and do stuff for me. When I wrote two books, and I had a choice at the timing of when I could write them, like during the day. I could write them during the day when the kids are up and around and not be present for them. Mm-hmm. Or I could write them at night or early in the morning. And it did take a little bit of time away from the time with my wife at the time. But I chose, she understood because she's an adult. And I wanted to be present for the kiddos as much as I could. So I chose to write it in those times. And my creativity in the morning, it's like dialed up to 10.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the afternoon, I'm barely able to keep it on the graph at one. You know, I'm like, my brain is dead by the afternoon. So my power is right there in the morning with my creativity, my ability to problem solve, all of that stuff. So I look at the day, I look at the week, and I'm just like, in the mornings, that's my time to really kind of.
And imagine if you were writing those books when you woke up and you were telling yourself like, oh, shit, I'm tired. You would have been shit. It would have been garbage because you'd already lost control. You become the day's bitch at that point.
Yes, the day's bitch.
And I literally just had this talk with my kids just a couple of days ago. We were talking about the morning, and my daughter sometimes gets up because I have a son and a daughter, and we know there's definite differences in their emotions and shit like that. Yeah, so she wakes up sometimes in this awkward mood, if we can call it. And so I had this talk about them. I said, if you wake up first thing in the morning, and since we're talking about morning routines, and just lay there and you're like, oh, fuck my life and this and that. And they laugh when I like, because I talk the same way we're talking here. That's how I talk around there. And listen, people talk shit to me like, how could you say all these bad, these curse words in front of your kids? Listen, if the worst fucking thing I'm doing all day is a sound that's coming out of my mouth and you don't like it, like that's a pretty damn good fucking day.
Yeah.
Like if I'm eating dinner with my kids 7 days a week, we work out together 7 days a week. Like we don't miss a day. Of I love ever. This. So I'm saying fuck around them. Big deal. They won't say it themselves. Like, the shit,
they
like,
know the difference.
Goes back to the haters on the internet. They talk shit all the time because I might be cursing in a video. But those motherfuckers are sitting there getting home from work at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Pulling open their laptop and ignoring their kids and not being home for their kids. And when they are, they're in their phone fucking tweetering and doing all this other bullshit. And then they're going to talk shit to me for cursing in front of my kids.
So that's a great point. I'd love to hit on that because everybody, like I personally believe when somebody's complaining, bitching, or trying to call me out on something, I take a step back and realize, okay, they're not really attacking me. They're pissed off at themselves because they see something and they don't have that, or they wish, or they see, they want to either emulate it or they want something that they don't have. And so as a result, they're pissed off and they bitch and they moan. So like in your case, they see the quality relationship that you have with your family, your wife and your kids.
And believe it or not, a large percentage of haters on the internet, if ties right into this, are military veterans. I think it's exactly, I think you just hit on it. You just nailed it 100%.
Yeah.
There's guys who tell me I shouldn't be running men's personal development programs. I shouldn't be making men better husbands and fathers because I wasn't a grunt.
They tell me,
you were just an air winger. I don't know, kill myself because I wasn't a grunt or like I shouldn't be a good father. They say you shouldn't even mention being in the military because you weren't a grunt. Like it's because they were a grunt. They got out and they're pushing fucking shopping carts at Walmart and they don't like see someone successful making money. That's
100%.
Has a great relationship with their kids and hanging out with their kids all day, all the time. Like,
and that's,
my kids are homeschooled and we work from home. So I'm with them all day.
See, that's, I don't think people can appreciate what that really means. Looking back at my kids are now in their 20s, and looking back, there are certainly things that I wish I would have done differently. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have done these things. And that's kind of the conversations that I have with them now. It's like, listen, you know, like you, a negative influence in this case, like, hey, I can acknowledge that there are some things I did as a parent, as a father when I was younger that I kind of wish I hadn't done. And I don't want you to think that was the right thing to do. Like the right thing to do would have been this. Mm-hmm. I learned that. I learned it the hard way through this experience. So don't make that mistake with your kids when you grow up and when you have your own family. But back to the haters. My problem with that is, number one, how is that helping in any way? Okay, so you want to bitch. You had a bad day and you see somebody that's successful. You see somebody that you want to emulate, but you can't, or you don't want to put the effort into doing it, right? So then the natural knee-jerk reaction is to try to pull them down to your level. Pull everything down and be in that cesspool of misery and discontent. Mm-hmm. You said earlier that you love to take those comments and turn them into some sort of value-added lesson. Do you ever re-engage with those commenters and talk to them?
And a lot of times I won't go back and talk shit to them because now you're just two fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Like, I literally have guys that comment, say, meet me any place, anytime. I'm going to Goldberg spear you and kick your ass. Like I hear it all. I have to look up sometimes. I knew what that was, but this guy told me he was going to tomahawk kick me.
You said that.
Me and my kids were looking it up and we're like, every martial art, we couldn't find any fucking tomahawk kick, but they love this guy because it was hysterical. This thing was great. The one that they acted out, but I will send them a lot. Sometimes if it's on a private message or on a comment, I'll tell them like, listen, it breaks as much shit as I talk. And I say, I get paid to talk shit for a living. I get paid to yell at people for a living. But when I see the veterans doing that, that's the shit that like fucking hurts. It actually breaks your fucking heart seeing it. That what is that person is spending this time to go. And sometimes it's the same person over and over, like over weeks or months.
Wow.
And then finally they'll get blocked or whatever when there's definitely no breaking through.
Yeah.
Probably like, listen, we're still here. I've even offered to pay for some of these guys to come through some programs and some coaching and they'll just talk shit about it.
They won't do anything.
Yeah. Listen, talk to someone. There's something going on with you, obviously, that you're a grown fucking man spending your time to go on the internet to talk shit to someone, to fucking threaten someone. Go talk to someone or listen, give me a call.
Yeah.
I'll text him. Here's my number. I'll send him on a message. See my number. Give me a call. Oh, fuck you. What can you do for me? You're just this and that. Like, but I do. There are times and I'll try, but it just doesn't happen.
Well, you know what? That's about all you can do. You can't, the old adage, you can only lead the horse to water.
Yeah.
And that's as best as you can get. The fact that you would actually go that extra mile to kind of help them speaks a lot, especially in the veteran community. Right now, the veteran community has a growing problem, and maybe it's not growing. Well, it is growing, but it's always been an issue, which is, you know, that the suicide acts that we're seeing right now. And
I think it is growing because most of these are usually from the veterans from the last 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
So I never get these from guys that were in the 90s or 80s. Never. Zero.
And it's frustrating. I mean, you know, that's hurtful. Like you said, that aches my heart to see that, because there is, whether I like you or not, it's like you were saying, the drill sergeant brought you in. He's like, I hate you, but I would share a foxhole with you in a heartbeat. You know, that type of camaraderie exists even outside of the service branches, and to see so many of them suffering. We just had a teammate take his own life that, you know, that was crushing. So it's like, what can we do? You know, there's so many programs, but the fact that you reach out in an effort to try to connect, I'm not saying that person was suicidal, but he clearly had issues.
Some shit going on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you bought some nods and now you're ready to rock, right? You knew you needed training to run that rifle like a Chad, so why should night vision be any different? TNVC.com is your source for the night fighter training you need to be effective.
All right, so this is going to be a great question because I can almost formulate an idea. But if you had a superpower, what would it be?
To get people to flip the switch.
Mm.
To dig in. Get them to flip the switch, whether it's from negative to positive, from being a fucking bitch to a beast. Like I say that all the time. We say it, kill the inner bitch to unleash the beast.
Yeah.
Flip that switch. Realize what your fucking real potential is. Stop bullshitting. Stop half-assing. Stop like taking days off. And that's why I take 0 days off from training, because I don't believe in it. I don't believe in half-assing it. Yeah. Like if today's the day I'm going to fucking die and get run over by a truck, or I'm going to crash the fucking RV into another thing and just be decapitated, it's going to be a day I'm going out like a motherfucker. It's going to be a day that I ate healthy, that I trained hard, that I was hanging out with my kids and spent as much time as I can with them and not neglecting them. Like flipping the switch from that other version, that work-life imbalance that's just negative and pissed off and half-assing shit to, again, breaking the cycle and flipping the switch to who the fuck you really are capable of doing, because most people don't even come close to what they're capable of. They get caught up in the mix about work and making money and stress and overwhelm and anxiety and all this other bullshit. So it's really gain and flip and by whatever means necessary. Like that's why I'll get the hate, because I will do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I'll be that asshole. Everyone needs an asshole like me in their life. So that's the superpower I have. I'm the asshole that will help you fucking
asshole
change your life. Hell yeah.
I love that. That's an awesome one. You said something that really resonated with me about some of these folks and their limitations or their perceived limitations, anxiety. How has anxiety kind of like creeped into other people's lives that you can see and is has shackled them to or has kept them at that inner bitch level.
And I think it comes to with men, especially specifically, there's always three things. It's again, the childhood slash daddy issues, almost always the father, the issues that leads to it. It's that which then leads into their vices, their addictions, drugs, alcohol, and then which leads into the women problem. It's always always those three of every man that comes to our program. It's one of those three things. And usually all three, and usually in that order, the daddy issues leads to the drugs and alcohol, leads to the women issues. And they're just this grown man that's still living like a fucking man child. And that's why they have all this anxiety, because they didn't take care of themselves first. They didn't get their own fucking house in order first.
Yes.
Trying to do all this other stuff and then trying to run a business while they're doing that and wondering why they can't connect to their team, because they're a shit show themselves. So until they can, again, lead themselves, you didn't even earn the right to lead other people. You didn't even earn the right to, you have to, in the Marine Corps, we say earn the title of Marine every day. We would say. You have to earn the title of
100%.
Being a husband every fucking day, of being a father every day. Just because you had a kid doesn't mean you are a father every day.
You know, and that's a great, I love how you put that in context. Earn it every day, regardless of what the title is. Earn that title every day. Man, I'll tell you, that was something that was forged in me early in my career. I didn't appreciate it. It was just how we lived. It was the lifestyle we lived. But it was kind of like the overarching theme, earn it. So I just did it because that's what I recognized as being the best that I could be. Every day I had to go out and train hard. Every day I had to go out and work my gear. Every day I had to go out and make sure that, you know, everything, all the stuff I was responsible for was good to go. But when I left the Navy and that structure was lacking, you know, that became so important to me. Every day, you know, we used to say earn your trident, which is the same thing for you. Earn your title as a Marine. And so for me, like, I had to figure out, well shit, what does that really mean for me now? In today's age, you know, those that haven't had the experience of any of the service branches, how do you earn? What do you do to try to earn being, you know, a man, earn being a father, earn being a husband? You know, that's the hard part, I think, for a lot of people, is what does that really mean? You know, how does that get defined for people? What do you tell people to try to do to help them earn the title of being an adult male?
Yeah. So I think no one on their deathbed ever says, oh, I wish I would have worked more. I wish I would have spent less time with my kids. I really regret spending so much time with my kids. Or even I wish I would have made more money. That's never happening on your deathbed, ever.
Yeah.
And let's say you built up a fortune of $100 million and on your deathbed, but you, in order to get that money, you had to neglect your kids a little bit, and you were always working and taking your work home with you, gone for weeks and months at a time, whatever it is. Not that ideal role model, male role model that they're looking for. On that deathbed, if they said, okay, you give back this $100 million, would you do that for a week or a day or another fucking moment with your kids to do shit the way that you wish you could have done it? Abso-fucking-lutely, snap a finger, they would do it.
100%.
So the way I see it is, give up some of that now. It's like, I call it freak time travel. If I'm going to pass up on some opportunities and money right now to spend more time with my kids, to me, that's the meaning of life. The purpose of life, I think, is to have kids, to make this world keep going on and keep this fucking rock that we're on spinning. Yeah.
Love it.
And in order to do that, you need to be fucking present. You need to earn that title every day of that father. That. So it's freak time travel. If I'm going to pass up those riches, if I would have done it anyway when I'm 100 years old, why wouldn't I just do it now? Pass up on say no to some of those opportunities, even if it means losing some money. Like right now, we're homeschooling our kids, literally our own homeschool. Like in the state of California, we have a registered school that's at our address of our house. So we can have our own agenda, and it's called the EFA. So if my kids ever graduate high school, if I ever let them, whenever we want them to, I'll be the principal signing it. And the name of the school is the EFA, the Eckert Freak Academy.
I love it.
It's a registered school in the state of California. This is no fucking joke. So,
I love it.
And they're unemployable. They won't even be able to get a job because they're going to be, they're leaders. They're going to be entrepreneurs. Yeah. That's, they just see the lifestyle that I live just totally free, and they're going to want that. But I almost want them to get a regular job one day. So they have to show up with their high school diploma that says the Eckert Freak Academy. And I want to see their employers like, what the fuck is this?
Look it up online, try to figure out where it came from.
Yeah. So if you would pass up that money 100 years from now or whatever. On your deathbed, why wouldn't you do it now? If you know you'd give it back, just give it back now. Pass up on some of those opportunities. Don't just chase the fucking money. And I'll make no mistake.
Yeah.
I'm all about making a shitload of money, because that does let you create those experiences for your kids and live the lifestyle. So I could do things like this podcast and
absolutely
take 2 weeks just to come do a 2-hour podcast.
I love that.
That's the fucking lifestyle I want to live.
When you said that, I was just assuming that you had other stuff on the road here on the on your trip that you were going to hit this location and do that there, this location. And then when you said, no, I'm just coming for this podcast, no. I was like, you know, so I appreciate it, first of all, that you would take the time to do that. And second of all, it makes absolute sense now, getting to know you a little bit better, why you would do that.
And look, we spent now 3 days in an RV hanging out. We worked out in Arizona. We worked out in New Mexico. We were working out in Texas today. We like with our family, with our, their whole fucking zoo they brought us. With, they brought two dogs and a hamster and a fucking snake. It's nuts in an RV. And but this is the lifestyle we want to live. And if do I believe I can get that $100 million if I wanted to, or even I have a saying, fuck your private jet. Do I believe I can get my own private jet with my discipline and effort and attitude that I go towards shit and violently attack shit?
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking believe I can get a private jet.
Yeah.
But I know in order to get that, I won't be able to keep it under the umbrella of this ideal freak freedom lifestyle.
Fuck yes.
Why the fuck would I want that private jet? So fuck your private jet. I'm going to give that up now, lose that money now, and live the fucking lifestyle I want to live to be able to sit with a zoo in my RV to come here to do a 2 hour podcast.
First of all, that is awesome, because that right there, I think, exemplifies what it really means to be a family. You know, a role model of a husband, of a father, and even in a sense, still have that inner kid, inner child come out and be happy. When you say fuck the jet, that to me really resonates, because I will tell you, you know, for guys like us, sometimes it's hard to say no. Because you see that money, you want to chase the dragon's tail. But when I look at it very similar to how you look at it. Okay, what's that going to cost me? I'm going to get $100 million, but what's it going to cost me? Mm-hmm. And is that cost worth it? And now when I look back at some of the things that I said yes to that I should have said no to, no, the cost wasn't there. It might have looked like the cost was there. And that's what I'm trying to get across to people, is like, it may look appealing at that moment. Oh my God, I'm going to have this opportunity to do whatever. Okay, but sit back and really identify or define, what is it going to cost you? Because until you can do that, and then wait, now make a better choice. Like if I look back at how I did that back in the day, I would have made some different choices. Now, those choices might have meant that you and I would not be sitting here right now, but that would have meant that I would have been spending more time with my family, and that would have been worth it. That would have been 100% worth it. So that alternate timeline that you talk about, I fucking love that. All right, so your superpower is that you're an asshole. You understand how anxiety affects people. It prevents them from actually achieving their true potential. So you mentioned to me, and I would assume that was probably one of your fondest moments of your childhood, of like the World Series and watching that ball. And I actually do remember, because that was like that one scene with the ball just trickling through his legs was like a clip for weeks after the game, you know, just like and just watching that whole scene unfold. I can vividly recall it. Was that like that was the pivotal moment of the childhood when you saw that happen and the reaction from your dad and that kind of set you on a new path? Is that the moment that triggered that?
I'd say that always one that sticks out and it goes in the light bulb. So I'd say that was it as a kid.
Yeah.
And we always knew that our family was different. We saw how other kids were doing stuff and going on vacations. We never went on a single vacation. We went on one family vacation in our life. It was to the Jersey Shore, to like the dirtiest beach in the Jersey Shore. And we were six kids. My brother was already off in the Marines because he was in the Marines also. So there was five of us. We went to the beach. And back then, I forget if it was either $1.25 or $2.50 to enter the beach. They give you a little fucking pin. And you go on the beach.
Yeah.
So five kids. My parents got one ticket, one little pin thing to go on the beach. We got to go 5 minutes on the beach by ourselves and then come out, give the pin to the second kid. Once we each hit our 5 minutes, we got one ice cream cone that all of us had to share. Five of us plus two parents shared, and we went home, like an hour and a half drive. That was the only family trip or outing ever in childhood, in life that we ever did.
So one of the questions that I was going to ask you was, what was your fondest memory of your childhood? And I know that that's kind of a, like, I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but like, is there a fond moment from childhood? Would that be one of them?
I don't know if I'd call that a fond memory, but a fond memory, a fucked up memory, maybe. Yeah, but there are not many fond memories. But again, I love it because it made me who the fuck I am. That's why even thinking about the fuck ups and the failures and the things you did wrong, people say, what would you tell your 18-year-old self? Nothing. I let him ride this wave because it led to who the fuck I am right now.
Yeah.
And the life that I have and the freedom that I have and the relationship I have with my wife and kids. Like, it led down this fucked up path to that moment. So I wouldn't change a damn thing.
That is so awesome, because my next question was going to be, what would be your do-over? And clearly, you know, in this case, you know, like I look at that question and sometimes I will answer it for myself. There's one moment in time that I miss that I wish I had a do-over. One moment. And that was the missing the birth of my second son. We had a family decision to make. I was supposed to be going to a training class. You know, we just left the Navy, so money was sparse at that point. And my ex-wife went into labor much earlier. We had two preemie boys. And so she was in the hospital literally the day that I was supposed to be leaving. And we kind of taught, you know, the doctors give us all this, you know, well, you know, anything can happen, you know, but mm-hmm. she's at this point, you know, it's probably good, because it was only a couple of days that I was going to be gone. Shit you not. Got on the plane, turned off the phones, obviously landed. And when I landed, I had a voicemail from my mother-in-law saying they just wheeled her into the delivery room. So I called her up. She says, yep, she's going through labor right now. And I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do to get back in time to see that. You know, I've missed that, you know, and it was, I still struggle with that, even though my kid is like pretty forgiving of that. He obviously doesn't really appreciate per se what I did to myself then, but that's like the only do-over that I really have in my life.
Everything makes sense. Yeah. 100%.
And that's like all the other things are superficial. Like, no, that to me is the one do-over that I wish I could do over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have anything like that other than
just almost appreciated the shit when you're going through just like the Marine Corps, you don't appreciate it when you're in there. Even the childhood, the shitty childhood, knowing that, like, if I would have known that that's like, I would have paid more attention to the shit and studied it more,
right?
And looked at the human nature more so I could use that later in life. But other than that, I mean, there's nothing that I could even,
I love hearing that.
There was no good moments back then, and there was nothing that I would do over, because there was no pivotal moment. It was just it was a fucking ghost. It was a blur.
I love hearing that. You know, it's interesting too, because when I talk about leadership, one of the things that I talk about as far as leadership is concerned is like, you know, what do you want to be remembered as? What kind of leader do you want to be remembered as? What is your legacy, if you will? So what is your legacy that you want to be etched in stone somewheres?
And this might be a different type of answer, but that's usually the way I like to do things, my own freak fucking version of it.
Go for it.
People could say, well, I want to have this and that, and my kids remember me and I give them this good life. And a lot of times they will tie money into legacy. It happens, or success or whatever. Their kids, fuck that. My legacy is today. Just this today, this fucking moment today, right now.
Love that.
Fuck tomorrow. I could be dead tomorrow, so I can't worry. People will wait to fulfill their legacy.
Yes.
So if I'm thinking it's going to take all this rest of my life to have this legacy, what if I fucking die today?
Yeah.
Now I have no legacy. Now you're just the average, ordinary. Like, my legacy is today, this moment, this fucking interview right now is my legacy. If this is the last thing I'll do on life, I'm going to do it like a motherfucker. I'm going to go out. If I'm going to go out and get the mail at the house, I'm going to get it like a motherfucking savage, a freak. And I'm going to be diving deep into whatever the hell I'm doing. So my legacy is always that moment. Whatever that task is, that is the legacy, because it could be the last fucking thing. So that day, how did I connect to my kids? What kind of time did I spend my kids that day? Did I neglect them? How did I just live my life that day? Did I half-ass? Did I bullshit? Hell no, not going out like that.
So I love that, first of all. And that is actually the perfect way to answer that question, in my opinion. Living in the moment, living now, right? That's just like you, it ties into that appreciation, that gratitude. I'm grateful for the fact that I can sit here right now at this moment. This is what matters. This is where my mind is, my heart is, where all my thoughts are right now, because this is what matters. And I hadn't really, I'm gonna be honest, hadn't really thought of that as far as relating it to legacy, but you're absolutely right. What if today is the last day that you have on this earth? What, you know, the last moment was doing some bullshit thing that I kept saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to work towards my legacy. I'm going to do one little thing every day towards my legacy, as opposed to doing this day as if it were my last day.
You don't know if you're having that fucking day. On the way here, we saw a car on the side of the road. Oof. Fucking flipped over. It was completely exploded.
I love that, man.
It started a fire.
I love this outlook.
It was a fire that was like a mile long that lit up all the trees. We were in traffic for like 2-3 hours just sitting still. This car was fucking roasted.
Wow.
I don't know if there was a death or not, but
most likely
if that motherfucker was waiting for their legacy or going somewhere to start fulfilling the legacy a little bit day by day, they're going out as just that person that was gonna
Yeah.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, motherfucker. 100%. Instead of who actually is doing it in that moment.
Man, I do. I you know, that is a completely different perspective that I really hope resonates with people, resonates with the viewers and everybody else that we contact or connect with. Because, you know, all those things that you keep putting off, saying you're going to do, oh, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to start working out. I'm going to make an effort to be a better husband or a better father. What are you, why, what's stopping you from doing that right now?
Exactly. Like, even I say it all the time, fuck your past. Like, it's done. Fuck the future. It's, you don't even know if you're going to be there. And you're even, fuck your goals. Yeah. I check in with my goals every day. I write them down. But after that, it's like, all right, what do I need to do today?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I need to show up today?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do I need to do today to make today fucking awesome?
Yes.
To make myself better. If I'm making myself better and making it today fucking awesome, there's my motherfucking legacy. Yes. I have nothing to worry about. That's why you can't have a bad freaking day.
I love that. You know, and you talk about journaling. I feel like journaling is one of those things that sometimes people can misinterpret or misunderstand. And to me, like when I, you know, during a dark period of my life, at some point I just had all this shit in my head and I couldn't, you know, like there were, my glass was full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I started to slowly take those thoughts and write them down, it gave me space to take in new stuff, to analyze things and create a new pathway for myself. So I wasn't the poster child for journaling. I wasn't, you know, and even to this day, I don't journal on a consistent basis, but I will sit down and when I have problems or when I have issues or when there's something that's both good or bad, you know, I'll sit down and take a moment. And I have time in my calendar specifically for that. And if there's nothing that I feel like is valuable to put in my journal, then okay, whatever. No big deal. What is the, aside from just start doing it? Because I think a lot of times people don't understand what to do when it comes to journaling. You know, like to them, it's like, what do I do? What is journaling? So what is Steve's definition of journaling?
Yeah, good question. So to me, it's also like working out. If something feels good, if something's working and you know it's benefiting you, why wouldn't I do it every fucking day? That's why I take literally no days off. My son's 11. He hasn't taken a day off in almost 2 years. We just did a 24-hour workout on Saturday. Literally,
I saw that.
24 hours, no sleep, training. And it was for Tim Kennedy's Save Our Allies. I have to give him a check here while we're here.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So if something's working, why would I not do it? You do it actually the opposite of what most people do. Most people would do things like, let's say, meditation, journaling, waking up early on the easy days, on the good days where it's smooth, it's an easy day.
Yeah.
And then when there's an emergency or something goes wrong or they're busy or they're traveling, they abandon all those things because, oh, I don't have time for that today.
Man.
Like, they have it ass fucking backwards. You only do this shit on those slow days. You train during the peacetime so that you're prepared for war.
Why? Yes.
That's like you're in the Navy SEALs and you're training for battle. And the second the war starts, you stop using all the strides and tactics you practice in peacetime.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's only reason you're doing it in peacetime is so that you're prepared for fucking war, the war that the day is going to throw at you. So I'm preparing for that every day because I don't know what's going to happen that day. I don't know I'm going to crash the fucking roof of the RV. And by the way, on that same day, we were new RV people. I don't know if you ever were into RVs, if you know what a black tank is or not.
I don't.
It's your shit tank.
Oh, basically. Yeah.
27 gallons of where all your toilet water goes into. Ours apparently was defective. This is on that same trip. Literally, right? That same day that I crashed the roof, our first time emptying the black tank. So I pulled there's a valve and then a safety valve you pull. It was apparently defective. When I pulled the valve, nothing was supposed to come out yet.
Oh, no.
27 gallons of my family's shit and piss poured all over me at our first ever rest stop with our RV with a crashed in fucking roof.
Oh, my God.
I'm covered in shit. Like, literally. And my daughter's inside. She hears my wife and son fucking screaming. She runs outside. She's like, what happened? She's like, oh, daddy, I missed it. Could you do it again? I didn't see it. So every time we change it now that's not my job. That's my son's job. We get in fucking camp. Fuck that shit. But every time I did it since then, my daughter would come out with the camera and
just
record.
Just in case
I got fucking shit on again.
Oh, my God. But
again, that's a way of being prepared for anything. When that happened, most people would fucking lose their shit or whatever. Be all pissed. Yeah. I said, well, now we're even close as a family. I'm literally carrying your fucking DNA on me. So we are as close as a fucking family can get at this point.
First of all, that's awesome. And the fact that it's just, you know, like you guys as a family just turned that into a bonding learning moment is amazing. I can remember. It's so funny that you mentioned the RV thing. My family, I don't know if we rented it or owned it, but I was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 years old because I remember traveling and in an RV. We took this time off, summertime, I imagine, and we just traveled. And I can remember I didn't want to go because I didn't want to be away from my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to live in this little box on the road kind of thing. And looking back at it, we traveled to all these different places, saw all these cool things. And yeah, we lived maybe humbly during that time period because it was whatever was in our vehicle. Yeah. But looking back at it, I am actually very grateful for that opportunity because we did bond as a family. We were really tight. We did. You couldn't. There was nothing.
We're literally getting shit on by each other.
In your case, yes. But I think back to that, and Jamie, my better half, is going to take this and keep this as a recording. She's been wanting to get an RV for us to go and do things. And I've been pushing back against it. But, you know, I have a sneaky suspicion that the RV thing is probably going to be in our future here, probably sooner rather than later, just because of that opportunity to have that. It's not like you're not close already, but there's other things that come with that. The fact that, you know, there's responsibilities, you know, running an RV is like running a ship. Mm-hmm. There's things that have to happen every day. I mean, same thing happens at a house, but it's not so much. It's not as dependent as when you're actually living in that vehicle.
Yeah,
so
it's even more. You get to a campsite, the amount of stuff that you have to get done, we get it done now in like less than 3 minutes because we have it down now and everyone knows their roles.
Exactly.
And we got here last night at like 1 a.m. and we just set up shop. We watched some Walking Dead episodes and fucking and here we are.
I love it. So, Jamie, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you will. Yes, that means that we'll probably be getting an RV at some point.
And we'll get back to the journaling. I wrote it down so I don't forget to get back to the original question. But speaking of the RV, here's also the problem with society and men, because you said you're going to think you're going to be twisted your arm to get into the RV. Yeah. I looked up a few YouTube videos. We kind of got a general idea of what I wanted, just me and my son. We go to the RV place and I kind of see exactly the type we're looking for. I ask him like two or three questions to make sure it's what we want. And I'm like, all right, we'll take that one. It's over $200,000 RV.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker, he's a salesman, says to me, well, don't you want to go and think about it or maybe talk to your wife? I'm like, you're the worst fucking salesman I've ever seen. Like, aren't I the supposed to be the one that says I want to think about it or talk to my wife? But that's where society is. It's so fucked up that they just assume like that's the way society goes with men and that we need to go and ask for permission automatically. He was mind blown. He's like, well, and I told him, my wife doesn't even know that we're buying this thing. She doesn't even know we're here. Me and my son went from the gym and we just went to go check him out and we left with a fucking RV.
He
was mind blown because that's the way society has like almost brainwashed men to be thinking. That's why they're fucking weak and soft and have bitch tits and all this other stuff, because that's the way they're operating on that level. And he couldn't understand this. And we literally bought it. Me and my son, they fixed it up. They got it cleaned up and we had it ready the next day. And he was mind blown by it.
I love that.
Just something that made me think of it when we were bringing this up about going to buy it.
That's a good point, though.
It was such an example of what's wrong with just men in the society these days, why we do the kind of programs that we do. And it just made me think of that. But all right, so back to the journaling.
Yeah.
It starts off with that gratitude that I talked about. And I'm literally writing it down every day and I'm writing down the basics that I'm always grateful for. But then after that, what am I grateful for that specific day or that happened the day before? And again, going deep into it, not just writing down that I'm grateful for. Like, I'm literally writing down our dog's names and the hamster's names. And there's a fucking turtle at home. And there's another hamster that we didn't bring because it just had 20 fucking babies right the day before we left. So someone's watching it. It's like a zoo over there. Next, we're getting chickens and fucking horses. So I'm writing that stuff down. But like the hamster, for instance, I write down their name. Literally, that's what I'm grateful for, because I see my kids, the discipline and them taking care of it, the learning lessons they have. We had a hamster that died. And we only had it for like 4 months. Hamsters are like very sensitive and they die in like a year usually. Yeah. Seeing my kids, how they were broken down over this, but experiencing grief and grief and how to deal with it. They went together and created a little memorial thing, had a little service for it in the backyard. They dug the hole and they buried it. Like, that's what gratitude is. I could say, I'm grateful for my pets. No, I'm grateful for it because it's teaching my kids this responsibility, the discipline, these life lessons, 100%. And seeing them getting attached to something and taking care of it and seeing it as their own, as part of their family, is fucking awesome. So that's the level of gratitude I'm thinking. I might be writing down just a hamster's name, but when I'm stopping, that's the kind of things, that deeper level of connection that I'm thinking of.
I love that.
After that is, we talked about in the morning, laying in bed and thinking, oh, this day, fucking, I'm aching, I'm sore, fuck my life. Right out of bed, the first thing is I'm already starting to tell myself the shit. Your thoughts fucking matter. The shit that you think has an absolute effect on your day and your life. So I'm thinking right off the bat that today's going to be fucking awesome. Life is going to be fucking awesome. I am fucking awesome right off the bat. Like if that's the shit you're pouring in your head right off the bat,
yeah,
it's hard to have a bad day when you're almost brainwashing yourself with this stuff and making it your operating system.
Yes.
And then, so I'm also, when I'm journaling, I'm writing that stuff down and I can show you, you could see at the top of like the pages here, right there. I am fucking awesome. No excuses. Attack. It's down my words of the year and themes of the year have here up on the top. Operate to dominate, discipline, energy, confidence, action, freak. I'm putting all this stuff in here all the time. Bring the fucking fire every second of every second. If you're always on your A game, you have to get on your A game. Like this is putting that stuff in my head. First, I'm thinking it. The second my feet hit the floor when I wake up, it's going in my head, the thoughts.
Yes.
Then when it comes to the journaling, I'm writing down. You can call it your affirmations. Whatever you want to call it. It's just my daily disciplines that I do.
Love it.
I need that because I know I will go to dark fucking crazy ass places if I don't control myself on a daily fucking basis.
I love that.
It works. So why wouldn't I do it? I'm also doing it in peacetime. So it's ready and I'm prepared. Like we're traveling right now and on the road. I am absolutely doing this every single morning. The same thing. Just because we're on a different schedule and we're all over the place, different time zones. It doesn't matter. I still need to do it. So it's those affirmations, if you want to call them, the gratitude. Then I'm going to my victories. What were my victories for just the previous day?
Yeah.
What wins did I have yesterday? So I could build that momentum. Look at this momentum that's being built. After this kind of stuff is going on, then I'm thinking, what do I need to improve on from yesterday? Just yesterday. Not in life in general.
Love that.
How can I get better every fucking day? And then I'm asking myself those questions I mentioned earlier. How can I make today fucking awesome?
Yeah.
What do I need to do today to grow and get better? And I'll write about those every single morning.
I love it.
And from there, then it's who can I help today? Who can I help? Can I reach out to that I haven't reached out to? Who needs my help? How can I be of service? Like anyone that has a purpose in the world, it always involves other people, whether it's family, your team, military, veterans, whatever it is. The purpose always involves other people. So I'll think of a specific person. Who do I need to help today? What help do they need? Why? How can I help them?
Yeah.
And when am I going to go do that? So it's on my calendar. When am I going to reach out to that person or help them out? Then from there, it's now then just a brain dump section where it's all right, whatever other shit's weighing on my shoulders, I need to just scribble down on paper to get it out of this fucked up head and put in there. And this is after I've already done meditation, cleared my head with meditation and the weird, wild shit that goes on. I have to do guided meditation. I can't sit there on my own because some weird fucking shit happens. Yeah,
I'd probably be the same boat.
Yeah, weird shit happens. So
I love that, man. You know, and that everything that you just talked about is brilliant, first of all. And it reminds me of like when we would do our debriefs. You know, you get back from an op.
I call it a daily debrief. Yeah, exactly what I call it.
And we would talk about three things, you know, what I do right that I want to keep doing, what I do wrong that I want to change, and what did I learn that I need to add? You know, and I do these debriefs with my students all the time. And I will do a debrief for myself, but I haven't done a debrief for myself on a daily basis. And I've been robbing myself.
I'm going to challenge you here, right here. This is the time I'm going to look in the fucking camera. I'm going to challenge this motherfucker to start doing his daily debriefs every day because it just makes you better and better.
I was just
And I do it again at nighttime too. I do a end of the night routine and I'm scoring my day. How did I do my discipline, my energy, my confidence, and my freak score? Like being myself, that means living life on my own terms, my freak score. You have to have a scorecard. How could you know if you're winning at the fucking game if you don't have a scorecard? If you're not reflecting on it, if you're not reviewing it, so you could preview and plan what's coming up the next day.
Yes.
And then in addition to that, also on the journaling has what can I get excited about today?
Yeah.
Every day. If you don't have something to look forward to,
man, dude,
on a daily fucking basis.
Yep.
And if your only thing to get excited is always work related, sometimes it might be. There might be something cool doing with work.
Yeah.
But something that lights a fire under your ass from first thing in the morning. If I'm writing about that, what can I get excited about today? Yep. And then I call that the freak fun. And then I go to the freak fear. What's something that's going to challenge me or be a little scary or fearful today that I could fucking dive head in first? And today could be doing a live or an in-person podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what do I have that's exciting today?
Yeah.
What do I have that's going to be a little fearful or challenging to me today to push me and pressure me? Because I need to get better every fucking day. And it ties back into legacy being today.
Yes.
Imagine all that stuff going on every morning.
Oh, I love it.
You are impenetrable.
Like, dude,
it doesn't matter what the fuck happens.
I love the idea of looking at what excites you, but also what scares you. Because we are creatures of habit. And if we make it a habit of always addressing our fears, and every time we are addressing our fears, we're overcoming our fears, then overcoming fears becomes our habit. And so many people suffer from that fear, like fear of the unknown, fear of not knowing, fear of not trying, fear of failure, fear of all these things. And everybody looks at this as this big giant glob, this whatever. If you were to just take every day a moment to reflect on something that this day is going to challenge me because I'm a little bit nervous about this, I'm a little bit scared about that, but you make every day a purposeful day of addressing that fear, then you welcome it. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes the fuel. Like, what is going to push me out of my comfort zone?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that I always, you know, we would always tell our guys. And it's an easy phrase. A lot of these phrases are easy, but how do you live it? Like, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Well, how do you do that? Well, every day you find something throughout your day that caused you that anxiety, that fear, the whatever it was, and how you tackled it. And that becomes the day-to-day-to-day routine. That fear becomes something that you just, I mean, we're all afraid of things. There's, you know, you can't be fearless without knowing fear. But what you can do is you can turn that into fuel, and fuel that I feel like would be powerful for so many people out there.
Huge. Oh, yeah, that's a huge fuel, that something exciting for each day, something to push you and pressure that fear each day, like that will light a fire under your ass in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's why I say bring the fire every second of every second. That makes you have no choice. Yeah. And then if you're thinking you need to be that role model to your kids and judging your day, like I judge my day at the end of the day, I call it on the foot, the speed of the footsteps.
Ooh.
When my kids would come home from school, when they used to go to school, a couple of houses ago, my office is upstairs. I would judge my day on how fast I would hear their footsteps running up the stairs. And it's like a machine gun. And they're knocking each other down, fighting each other to come knock on daddy's door to just say they're home from school.
I love that.
And now it's the same thing. When I come home, if I'm out for the day or if I'm overnight somewhere and my car drives into the driveway and those little maniacs, they'll come running down the driveway and almost fucking run them over. Like how fast are those footsteps from those little maniacs when they're seeing daddy
that
again?
First of all, that's beautiful.
That's all I need to judge my day on. If those footsteps are fast, it's a fucking win. Nothing else can make my day mad. Nothing. I could lose. Literally, I had a day. Two and a half weeks ago, where I lost $20,500 per month recurring in the same fucking day.
Oh shit!
From four different accounts, it just happened. Timing, the time frames. Big fucking deal.
Yeah,
big fucking deal. Those footsteps were fast. Fuck your money. Fuck your private jet. I'm judging it on footsteps.
I love that.
And then the reason for that is when my father would come home when we were kids, it was judged on footsteps. So those footsteps are fucking running away from the door. We're running to our rooms or going to hide somewhere, pretend we're sleeping because we don't want to get a steel toe work boot fucking thrown at us. So I'm going to make sure those footsteps are running towards me and not away from me. After that, what the fuck else matters?
First of all, that is beautiful. I mean, straight up beauty.
Called worse things, but that's something I've actually never been fucking called before.
Well,
it's beautiful.
That right there is beautiful because that when you see your children come running at you like that, and that's how you judge your day, to me, that defines beauty. That is beauty. Let me ask you this question. What's the best advice you were given by a mentor?
Probably if you're going to put yourself out there, have thick skin. And that's why one of my, that I judge myself on is decaf every day. Discipline, energy, confidence, action, and freak. That freak score means, was I myself today? Was I my living life on my own terms today? Was I doing what made me happy today? That's why my whole family, we wear two different color shoes. Every one of us. If you look under the table, you'll see two different shoes. It's not
Holy
a joke.
Holy shit.
Because my daughter, when she was 2 years old, she would only leave the house if she had two different colors, two different shoes on. And I'm not talking just, these are at least the same fucking running shoe. She had like one of my wife's like Russian hooker heels on and like a rainbow unicorn fucking slipper. And she'd be hobbling, gimping out of the house like a fucking gimp. And like, what are you doing? She's like, that's how I want to go out. I'm like, no, you look like a fucking idiot. People are going to think there's something wrong with you. She's like, I don't care. This is what I want to do. This is how I like to wear these shoes. I'm like, at least let me take you to the store and we'll get you two of the same shoes. So you're not fucking gimping out. You don't have a hip problem when you're older or some shit. So, but I'm like, but people are still going to think you're stupid. They're going to think you're like some weird fucking kid. She's like, I don't care. That's what makes me happy.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
You know what? Copy that. Since that day, our whole family only wears two different color shoes. So when I'm lacing up to come in here today or anything I'm doing and seeing my two different color shoes, it's a reminder to live life on my own terms. March to the beat of my own drum. Be my freak fucking self and not worry about what the fucking rest of the world is thinking about me or the haters like. Impenetrable, bulletproof. That's why it's perfect. The bulletproof workshop.
I love
make you bulletproof. Like what can so? I call it the 8 mile theory. If you ever saw the movie 8 Mile with Eminem.
Yeah.
If you put all your own shit out there, like what can someone do to you? Like, what could someone say to me? I wear weird clothes. I have two different color shoes. This bald, ugly white guy. I talk about my father was a freaking loser, a drunk. I was in the military. Yeah, I was in the air wing. Okay, so you can't talk shit. Like, if you put all your own shit out there, like Eminem at the end of the movie,
yeah,
he had that rap battle. All he did is talked about how the guys he was battling against, they jumped him. They fucked his girlfriend. His mother's a crackhead. He said all this stuff himself. It was the other guy's turn. He had nothing left to say.
100%.
What can you say? I put it out there. I go on stage with two different color shoes, wearing camo pants and a bald fucking head. One time I was brought out to stage in a cage, kicked the door out of the cage. After that, what can go wrong? Yeah. Nothing can go wrong in that. After that. Like, so I have nothing to worry about. It can only go uphill from there because I'm already starting at this fucking weird ass base level. So
I love that.
Was that my freak self today? So that was some of the advice. Is if you're going to put yourself out there, have thick skin. If you're going to start a business, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you need to have thick skin, have emotional discipline, emotional resilience.
Yes.
Like, that's the key. That's what your kids see. That's what your team sees, your employees see.
Yes.
The public sees, your followers see. Like, are you losing your shit when things are going sideways?
Yeah.
So being your fucking freak self, no matter what, and staying true to that, no matter what happens, standing up for the way that you want to be and doing what makes you fucking happy.
Well, that is, first of all, I love that. And I'll tell you the reason why is because in today's world, you know, social media has created these falsehoods about what you should look like, what you should do, whatever. You see all these other people living the perfect life mm-hmm. on social media. You very rarely see people being truly themselves.
And when they are, it's so fake. Like, they have those moments of like vulnerability, but they're doing it as just like a marketing tactic to show that I'm being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you usually,
it's for the likes. Exactly. I need the likes.
It's usually just
100%.
Bullshit.
In today's world, that to me, I feel is the biggest injustice. People will try to find positive things about social media. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there, but to me, the biggest injustice that social media does is it perpetuates that falsehood of not being who you really are. And on top of that, somehow feeling bad about who you are because you don't look like this other person, or you don't do what this other person does on social media only. That to me is one of the things that is a hard hill to climb for a lot of the younger generation people. But being true to yourself, be yourself.
And doing it with humility and not being a dick
course,
about it.
Yeah.
Not shoving it down people's throat like the shit nowadays with the what you associate as and what are your adverbs or whatever the fuck they call it nowadays. Like, that's forcing it down their throat. Like, I don't know if, I'm sure you've seen these videos with the drag queens like dancing for the kids and stuff like that. All they're doing is showing how they can outdo each other to show how themselves
woke
they could be
they
exactly or yeah. how liberal they could be, like, and now they're gonna try to keep it out doing each other. That's
it's
like
so true,
forcing it down your fucking throat. That is not genuine. That's so fucking fake and
it's
like
true
and manufactured.
Oh,
that's not really being yourself. If you're into fucking whatever you're into, if you're into men, women, fucking goats, whatever the hell it is, do your thing.
Yeah.
But you don't have to force it down someone's freaking throat.
See, that's I think you nailed that. If we all could just appreciate that, you do you. And if you're genuine about you, good. 100%. That's awesome. Support it, right? I don't care. As long as it doesn't hurt somebody. As long as you don't try to force me to do mm-hmm. that or be a certain way because of that.
Yeah.
Hey, and if I think that's loony, I think it's loony. That doesn't mean that you can't do it. Do it. I just think you're loony. Whatever. All right. Let me ask this question. I also have an idea about how you're going to answer this, but I still want to hear your answer. How do you deal with failure?
I think people talk about failure and they say all that, again, the internet world that we just talked about.
Yeah.
And they talk about, oh, you need to embrace failure, fail fast, fail hard, all this other stuff.
Mm.
And they don't do it. When they fail, they crumble, they complain, they blame other people. I consider never, like, I don't even, like, fuck failure. Fuck, just like fuck your goals, fuck failure. Like,
yeah.
Who I'm going to be myself. I don't even know. I can't say I never failed. I've fucked up all kinds of stuff.
100%, man.
But if I can weaponize that, that's a weaponize is always a word I go back to. I'm going to weaponize everything.
Yeah.
No matter what the failure, the fuck up is, I'm going to weaponize it. In one of our programs, we had a guy drop dead at our feet.
What?
Literally in the project, class number 5.
Now Jesus.
In a couple months, we're going to class 17. So this was 12 classes ago.
Wow.
When that happened, that's a failure. People die running marathons. People die in hotel gyms and all this other stuff. But, and there's still, this is almost 3 years later, there's still a case going on, like a court, whatever case going on about that. But when that happened, we could have crumbled and said, all right, this is done. We're done with the project.
Right.
We sat, we met about it, and there was 100% agreement that, you know what, the amount of lives that we're saving, the amount of marriages that we're saving, and how many people who told us they were suicidal before they came along, and how we changed their lives and changed their marriage and changed the fact that they're now these role models to their kids just from this program that we do,
the
project, we had to absolutely keep going forward. So not only did we keep going forward after that failure, is we made it so much more powerful and impactful, and almost made, not say made more money off it, but it grew since then because we went so much deeper to realize how important it was that we needed. We needed it because of people like that have these issues that died. So turning those failures into a superpower, turning suffering into a superpower. I think failure a lot of times just has to do with suffering, with pain.
Yeah.
And if you could turn suffering into a fucking superpower, like, how could you be beaten?
Yeah.
If you're going to beat the fuck out of yourself and be able to do it with a smile, like this 24-hour workout we did, like the next time I have to go and do whatever it is I have to do for, like, one time me and my son were watching this apocalypse movie, and there was a dad, and the car broke down because like an EMP or something, and they're looking for a place to spend the night because it's chaos out there, and they had 14 miles to get home, and he's like, we'll never get there. Me and my son looked at her like, 14 miles? That's it? That's a fucking easy, that's like a day off almost. Yeah. That's an active recovery day. We'll be there in fucking no time. Like, thinking that's the way that we're operating. Like, because you're putting yourself in those, manufacturing that adversity, so you're prepared for any failure. So I don't even consider it. I don't even know how to answer the question because I don't even consider any of it a failure. Yeah. Nothing is, because you're going to just, what are you going to do? Just stop and drop dead and quit? No, fuck no. You're just going to go on and create that new legacy tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So it doesn't even matter. It's like, it has no bearing. If anything, it makes you even learn. Of course, you could say lessons. There's only wins and lessons. There's no losses.
Yeah.
Like all those internet things you can hear, but I don't even acknowledge it. It's hard to even comprehend. I can't acknowledge it because I'm just going to keep being that fucking freak self the next day.
Well, I think those cute terms are just that. They're terms until they're put into action. So what does, there's wins and learns, but what does that mean? Well, in this case, the way I interpret that based off our conversation is that, you know, everything, you know, nothing is bad per se. I'm taking everything and it's making me stronger. It's making me better. I'm learning from everything.
There's a story of the, I don't remember the details of that's a fable, whatever. There's a guy who has a farm and he has a bunch of horses. And one day he only has a couple horses, doesn't have many. One day he goes out and finds all these stallions, these great horses, brings them back into the farm. All the people in the town come over. They're like, you have now the greatest stable of horses. You're going to make so much money. You're so lucky. You have all these awesome horses in your farm now. He's like, yeah, we'll see. The next day, his son leaves the fucking door open. Bunch of the horses run away. They're like, oh, your horses ran away. I feel so bad for you. You're now going to be broke. He's like, yeah, well, we'll see. The next day they go out and look for the horses. His son finds the horses, falls off the horse, breaks his leg. Breaks his leg. And everyone's like, oh, it's so horrible. Those wild horses, they cause your son to break his leg. And what are you going to do? He's like, that's all right. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The next day the country goes to war. The army is going door to door, taking all the young men, that could fight in the war. And they skip over his son because he has a broken leg and they can't take him to war. And all the neighbors now are saying, oh, you're so lucky that your son has a broken leg because now he's not going to war. And the guy just says, we'll see. So every one of those bad things turned into something good. Every good thing turned into something bad.
Yeah.
You never fucking know. So it's just life. It's
cool.
And now that I'm thinking about it, how do I embrace failure? By fucking living my life. I just thought about, like, as I'm saying this. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be peaks and valleys. Cut the peaks and valleys. Stay in the fucking middle. Keep yourself centered. Keep that emotional discipline. And you know what? We'll see. Fuck it.
I love it.
Whatever's going to happen. Fuck it.
I love it. That's going to be a new hashtag. We'll see. All right. Let's start wrapping things up with a final question. What is the biggest takeaway that you want our viewers and audience to gain from this podcast?
We talked a lot about men and personal development and fatherhood and role models and being a positive male role model, flipping the switch, breaking the cycle. This is one that I do need to look directly into this camera for, is that men, in this country specifically, men, your wife is not looking for another fucking son. She is looking for a man. She's looking for a leader. She's looking for a husband.
someone to take charge of the family, not a little bitch boy. You're not meant to be soft. You're not meant to be weak. You're meant to be a fucking man. That's the one thing I want people to take away. And like I said, I have a superpower of being an asshole. If someone takes that the wrong way, if that stings to a man, it should.
Yeah.
It should fucking sting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing, other takeaway from that is to going back to that being your freak self and living life on your own terms. Setting up what is your ideal freak freedom lifestyle, and that dictates everything you do. My decisions in life are so fucking easy to make because everything just goes according to it. Does it fit into the lifestyle I want to live?
Yeah.
That's it. So being yourself, wave your freak flag high in the fucking sky. Be proud of who the fuck you are. Yeah. Live life on your own terms. Yeah. March to the beat of your own drum. Plant that motherfucker in the ground. Let it go high and proud in the sky.
Yeah.
And you will attract your like-minded freaks that you vibe with. You will repel the assholes, the haters that you're not going to get along with anything. You're not meant to be in this journey. Yeah. Doesn't make them bad people. They're just not on this journey with you.
Yeah.
So that would be the second thing. And then the third thing is, as you are now realizing that you need to be this man, you are realizing to be your freak self and live your own freak freedom, to take your people along for the ride with you.
Oh, I love that.
People, they're here and here, let's say with their wife or their team or their staff, and the owner of a company will start learning and developing, getting coaching, or the man will go to the personal development, get coaches and read all the books and listen to the podcast like this, and they'll get better, but they'll leave the spouse behind. So they both were here.
Yeah.
You're starting to go here, and they think it's their wife's or whoever's duty to follow them along. No. You decided to leave that sitting on the fucking couch, eating Netflix with bonbons and all this other bullshit. You decided to get better. It is your duty and obligation to bring them up along for the ride with you, or you'll end up speaking different languages and you'll end up crumbling and falling apart. Take, as you're being that man, that's not the fucking, what, your wife's second son.
Yes.
And you're getting rid of the bitch tits and you're making yourself better and you're living life on your own terms, being your freak self, living according to your own freak lifestyle. Take your people along for the ride with you. They need it. They want it. They need it. And they fucking deserve it.
I love that. All right. That was huge. Where can people learn more about you? Where can people learn more about you and the mission that you're on?
They could follow those three things I just said, and they could inject that into the world. And if they see my freak flag waving high in the sky, they will find it. I'm not here to talk about any websites. People say their internets and their Instagrams. No one's listening to that shit. I don't, just don't be a little bitch. That's how we'll find each other, by you not being a little bitch in the world. And we will be attracted to each other. We will not be repelled. And we will find each other. We'll find each other. We'll bump each other into the real world just like we have.
Oh, I love it. That's 100%. I love it. All right, folks. Well, that's a wrap. Steve, thank you for making this an amazing experience, an awesome podcast. I want to thank our viewers and our audience for tuning in. Thank our sponsors and thank the men and women for holding the line. Check out all our previous podcasts by visiting thebulletproofworkshop.com. Learn more about me and training opportunities by visiting tridentconcepts.com. Until then, I'm Jeff Gonzalez, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Workshop podcast. Stay safe or be dangerous.